than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. And you can see this episode on YouTube. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great on this fine Saturday morning, man. The bye week is upon us. We got a special guest here, obviously.
That's right. We are in
the legendary Edgar Allan Poe.
That's right. We are in Gordon Plaza here in Baltimore, Maryland, downtown Baltimore in the University of Baltimore. And we have a statue here of Edgar Allan Poe. It's,
beautiful, man.
There's a lot of history with Poe here. That's
not
why,
like the Ray Lewis statue, but
right,
it's still legendary in its own mind.
There's a lot of history here in Baltimore with Edgar Allan Poe in a lot of different places. They like to say that they are like the Poe City, but like, you know, he's buried here. He died at a bar here, outside of a bar here. Of course, that's where the Ravens get their name from, his poem. But this statue, I was reading up on it because like we're trying to find Raven places to shoot this video.
Right.
He actually, this was commissioned in 1911, and it didn't show up in Baltimore until 1921.
That's insane.
Yeah. So the guy who made this, you know, there was all kinds of setbacks. They lost money. World War I broke out. An earthquake, like, ruined the first one. And then they got it, and they found out that there's a plaque here, and this actually was misspelled.
Really?
It said dreaming, you know, no I, dreaming. And then it said mortals with an S.
Immortals. Aha.
So, yeah.
But I'll read the plaque for you. For those who don't know it, I'll be posting pictures. The plaque reads, Edgar Allan Poe, his dates January 19th, 1809 to October 7th, 1849. Says, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. So it's a great quote. Edgar Allan Poe, we all know the Raven. I bought the complete works of Edgar Allan Poe online.
Oh, yeah?
Dude. $11 on eBay. Can't believe that. Had the picture of the Raven on the front. It's a big, thick book. It looks great. Right on my bookshelf. I definitely gave it a read. It has all his poems, including the Raven, all his works. But obviously, we know the team's inspired by him as well and his works. And
that's right. What they light this up when the Ravens are in the playoffs, the
purple.
That's
what you're saying, yeah.
So this has kind of like been a mascot almost for the team and Baltimore.
Well, we got Poe the bird. So
that's true.
Rise and conquer, obviously. So, I mean, it's deep-rooted history.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know about that. I definitely read up on it. I actually have the poem in my bedroom. Like on each side, it's actually black and white contrast, and it's actually in canvas. I actually got to print out the actual Raven poems in its entirety, so it's pretty awesome.
Very cool. All right, so for this episode, it's a Red Eye review. Of course, it was a bye week, so there's nothing for us to review as a new game goes. However, I thought that'd be a good idea for us to kind of review the season we've seen so far.
Of course.
It's kind of like the unofficial halfway point of the season.
It's scary like his works, man.
Right, yeah.
talk about the telltale heart. I need a new heart after this. Watching these games, man, this has been nuts.
Well, it's no game has been easy, but it's been a half and half season already. I mean, 3 wins, 4 losses. Wins where we're like, the Ravens, this is how they're going to play in January. This is what they're going to do in January in the playoffs. This is the kind of game you need. And now with injuries and everything, it doesn't even look like January is going to be an option at this point.
It's scarier than any Halloween attraction I've ever attended. And it's also a very complex team that we have here because we started 3-0. Remember, we're watching the game, beat the Jaguars, 3-0. We're looking great. We got out and we're like, we got away with that one.
Yeah.
On to week 4, we got 2 home games. Week 4 and 5, we're looking great. We're still searching for answers. The team doesn't look fired up. The team doesn't look healthy. We need to get healthy. We know Suggs is playing. We need Yanda back. We need C. Smith back. We need C.J. Mosley back. Finally, we got some pieces in place. And I hate saying these names because these are some big, important names, Brandon. These are some big names that we need to get healthy quickly.
Right.
Because we have the Steelers coming up and the Browns on Thursday Night Football. Back-to-back home games, back-to-back divisional games. Again, everybody's been getting on my case, Brandon, about why he's so positive. Again, I'm taking the Ray Lewis approach. The whole no weapon thing, I'm not going to go that far-fetched because this is a brand-new season. Each season is in, right? But I'm taking the positive approach because we have one game out of first place, right?
Right.
So I think with the way they're going to play is, I think it's going to come out and we're going to have that fire and tenacity because we are one game out. We got to hold on to that. I mean,
not a lot of other teams are doing either.
And that's the beauty of it. The AFC North is not doing that well, where the Steelers are only 4-3. They're one game better than us.
Right.
We have to get back to the roots. We have to get back to winning football quickly. So if we lose our fifth in a row, we're pretty much done.
That's very true. I mean, hopefully that next game isn't a loss. Hopefully it is a win. But, this season so far, who do you think's been, the most valuable player on the field so far this season?
Hate to say this, Jimmy Smith.
You think Jimmy Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
And I hate to say that because... Because of all the other pieces, because here's the thing, why. Is you look at the Odell Beckham situation in
True.
The Giants.
Yeah.
He held him in check. Jimmy gets hurt. Odell goes off. We lose the game. He held pretty much Brandon Marshall in check the whole game. He's actually played under the radar very well, guys. So my whole point is I think Jimmy Smith right now in the defense, and I have to give it to Eric Weddle. Eric Weddle's been a great addition. He's been healthy for one. He's been making plays. So I also have to give it, it's kind of like a half and half. I have to split the trophy in half. The MVP of the first half of the season goes to Eric Weddle and Jimmy Smith, regardless, because the defense is playing lights out. The offense is sputtering, but the defense has been there. Again, we're losing and winning close games here. Again,
right.
The same spiels before last year. You have to give it to the defense because we're getting it done.
I mean, the defense has looked great in the first couple games, and then the injury bug hit them as well.
Right.
There have been a lot of dumb moves, but I agree with you. Eric Weddle, he would be my choice for the MVP. I think he's really done a great job in such a few games with the Ravens. I mean, it looks like he grew up here almost. And I also have to give it to Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker's another one. Special teams have been very important so far this year, and he's been solid. I think he hasn't missed any.
That's why we gave him a contract extension, guys. I mean, everybody was saying, why you got paid kicker? You got to pay him where his money is, and the guy's money. He does his job well for a reason.
Yeah, he does. And I got to give it to him. And it's very sad to say that Joe Flacco is not one of the MVPs. We talked about it last episode. He looks scared. He doesn't look confident.
It might be that injury. Who knows? It might be this knee we're talking about. Who knows? I really would love to know. He's still the leader. He's still vocal. But I'm not seeing him translating the field. And they just look lethargic. And I'm very concerned about that.
I hope to see Joe Flacco again the way that we've seen him before in the Super Bowl year. I mean, I'll take 2 years ago even. But here's the thing. I was thinking about this. And I want to talk a little bit more about not just this past year, but the last couple years since the Super Bowl. I feel as if that the Ravens do not have an identity anymore now that Ray Lewis is gone.
Well, that's true.
They won the Super Bowl.
We know they're a bad football team. We know that much.
But, think about this. I was thinking about this earlier this week. Ray Lewis left, and we built him a statue, and everyone still wears 52 because they're proud, and they should be,
as
100%.
As I do.
100%, not saying that. But Joe was supposed to be the new face of the franchise, and Joe hasn't done exceptionally well. He's not going to rally the troops like Ray Lewis did. You know what I mean? He's the guy that we're building the franchise around, and since that Super Bowl, since Ray Lewis left, there's still a gap. We're still Ray Lewis's Ravens. We're not Joe Flacco's Ravens yet.
Not yet. Right now, if anything, it's Suggs' team because the way he's been talking through this injury, the way he's like, Ravens don't quit.
Right.
Yeah, we're injured. Like Ray Lewis. You know the whole story. And for those who don't know, I got to post the video, but it was powerful. But Ray talked about his injury, and you never push through, and everybody's like, oh, your career's done. Like Suggs. Suggs got hurt, and everybody's like, oh, that's the last we've seen him. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I looked in the stands. I said, and this is Ravens fans. I said, I'll bet you $55 his number. I said, I'll bet you $55 we see him play again here this season.
Right.
Because I said, I know this guy. This is a cringer. He tore his bicep in 2012. He played through it. We won a championship. Not correlating that, but he's played through this injury before. We've seen this song and dance before.
Yeah.
So I'm not really concerned about his injury because it's not career-ending. It's fixable with surgery after the offseason. Again, he can't flex it. I'd like to see how he works out with that. But because lo and behold, if I tore a bicep, I probably won't be able to lift weights.
Oh, yeah.
So it just shows you the drive through the injuries and the drive through what these guys go through.
Sure.
These guys are true warriors, man.
Now, what do you have to say about Breshad Perryman? Because
a lot.
This is his, technically, this is his sophomore year. However, technically, he's also still a rookie. He didn't play all of last year. We've only seen him in 7 games so far. We saw him in some preseason. I think that we aren't seeing a good connection with Joe and pretty much any of his receivers at this point, especially Breshad, and mostly it's because Breshad and him have only played together for 7 games. They missed a training camp together, too, technically. I was expecting more from Breshad Perryman as he came into the Ravens. I was expecting him to kind of do more being one of our number one picks, and maybe he's still learning, but what have you seen so far from the first 7 games from him?
I've seen a true rookie. I've seen somebody that can't get up to speed with the route running. He ran a lot of wrong routes last Sunday and it hurt us against the Jets, where Joe would throw it. We were sitting right there and I'm like, he stopped and I can see Joe doing this. I saw it live. Like Joe was like
what just happened?
Exactly. Like he's expecting Breshad to be outside and Joe throws it inside. The one interception I would say I could put that on Breshad, because it looked like Breshad was supposed to run an out route. He ran a go route and the defender was standing right there and you saw it. So it was just like, it's disheartening to me to see that, because they're NFL players for a reason. You got to get up to speed, and if you can't get up to speed, it's time to put up or shut up. And I think if you're not going to see Breshad get up to speed, you might see him exit pretty quickly. I just have that feeling, because we can't have this.
Could he be the next Sergio Kindle?
Of course.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah. He can be the next Sergio Kindle, Clarence Moore, Travis Taylor. Keep going on and on and on. We can add them to the list. I mean, I'm bringing up some names back and digging them up.
Yeah.
You know, talk about some digging up some graves. I'm digging up some big names. Yeah, I'm digging up some big names here in Ravens folklore, man. And everybody gets on Flacco. And I told you this in the ride here. You want me to bring back Stoney Case as quarterback of this team? Everybody knows some Stoney Case. He won us an awesome game. You want to bring back Kyle Bowler? I mean, this is the concept. Whatever Flacco's going through, whether it's his own personal thing or if it's the offense, but a quarterback can't play to his true potential when the line's patchwork. Mm-hmm. We need everybody there, but you also have to be a leader and step up and make plays. And I've seen some mechanics in his throws. He's throwing off his back foot. He's not driving through the ball. But I've seen some plays where he throws it down the middle field. That one pass to Egan, he threw it through a rope.
Yeah.
He's got there. He's got the potential. I hate to say that, but something is going on. I don't know if it's the knee. I don't know if it's mechanics. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's the injuries in the line. He's not believing the offense, but something's got to click, because 3-4, it's dire straits, man.
All right, so let me ask you about Steve Smith here. I have a little theory about Steve Smith.
Oh, I love theories. Is this a conspiracy theory?
No, it's not a conspiracy theory.
It's like UFOs flying around.
No, there's no UFO. There's no Roswell, nothing like that. But here's the thing. I think Steve Smith is a great football player, no doubt about him. Hall of Famer,
one of the best.
Yeah, I love him on the field. However, we signed him. He was out to prove, hey, I can still run with the best of them. Kenny, because I think when he's healthy. However, can he stay healthy? Obviously, he can't, because here we are again without him.
It's a drop off from year one. Remember year one?
Yeah.
Oh, he was on fire. Even in the beginning of year two. Last year, he was on fire. Some games in this year, he was on fire, and then he gets hurt. The player is only good is when he's healthy. That's any player, we know. If you're not up to 100%, you're going to get exposed, you're going to get exploited, and eventually make it worse beyond IR. We know the story. Steve Smith is still a true warrior when healthy. There, I'm going to put that disclaimer. My theory is if he can't stay healthy, he's good as retired. I hate to say that. We're seeing the last of him here. But I hope he comes back in the second half and provides that spark. We need him. We need Steve Smith's leadership. We need his fire, because other than Wallace getting it done, he's the only receiver out there other than him and Aiken. I think Impeta is the only threat to catching passes, and it's sucking right now. You can't have Chris Moore and Breshad Perryman lining up as your second, third receivers. It's not going to happen.
Now, here's part of my conspiracy. Okay? Hear me out. Did signing Steve Smith do more harm than good? Because we signed him, he was supposed to be a force with Joe Flacco. He was supposed to, and for the first year, yes, he was. Now he hasn't played in, almost 2 seasons. Hasn't had a full season in 2 years. Is that stunting the growth of wide receivers that we have on the practice squad that could potentially become better workers?
It's a good conspiracy. I don't think it's going to stunt their growth because Steve Smith's not taking a roster spot. Well, he is, but he's taking a roster spot, but I would say he's not taking a starting position spot because other receivers are getting the playing time.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that because the other players are practicing, Steve's not. I'm also going to debunk that by saying you can't foresee injuries because he was
true.
He was a hell of a player
yeah.
while he was on the field. We yes. know that. We yeah. know that.
Up until the last game against the Redskins, he still was a force to be reckoned
it's
with.
It's Steve Smith. I love it.
Right.
But the problem here is with he's not healthy, all those things to come up, they get regurgitated.
Right.
It's, okay, is he done? Is he doing harm? I love the conspiracy theory, but I just can't buy into it because Steve Smith's going to provide 110, 120% out there
Very
on the
true.
Field
Very
when
true.
He's healthy.
Yeah,
that's the key. When he's, and that's any player. I hate to bring that up and sound cliche, but when he's healthy. Now, if he was out there healthy and playing poorly, dropping passes, not running routes, that's where we have, okay, are we doing more harm
right.
than good than signing him? But when he's the reason why he's not playing because he's not healthy.
True.
It's not because he sucks.
Right.
There's the difference.
All right. So anything else? You have any conspiracy theories you want to talk about?
Conspiracy theories. John Harbaugh's still on the seat. He's still going to have it. Conspiracy theories out there. Is this coaching? Is this Harbaugh? I've heard it all. I've heard all the wacky stories this week. Is Harbaugh in the hot seat? Is he going to get fired if we continue losing? The guy's built a resume. He was Steve Bisciotti's pick,
yeah.
Brandon. He was Steve
That's
Bisciotti's
his boy.
Pick. That's his boy. There's only comes a time to where you stick with it so far, but here's the problem I have with this conspiracy theory is his last years. Marvin Lewis. Good old Marvin Lewis, architect of one of our greatest defenses, not the greatest championship defense of all time. He's over there in Cincinnati, still has a job. He's 0-5 in the last five playoff appearances. They haven't won a playoff game. Haven't won a playoff game.
Right.
Still has his job.
Right.
John Harbaugh, he's got the ring. He's got the trophy. He held it up. He's got all these accolades, success, wins.
True.
No. It's gonna have to take this year to be an absolute train wreck.
Right.
Maybe win one more game at the end of the year.
If we're like 0-7 or something.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Or if we just keep losing. Then I could see change in the offseason. I'd say the only thing that could happen is if we lose out. There could mm-hmm. be a big shakeup. Like, if we pretty much just lose every game from here on out,
right.
we have 9 games left. We lose all 9 and have, like, a 13-game losing streak and whatever and go 3-13.
Sure.
Ooh, we were 3-0 and go 3-13, lose the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing that might debunk my conspiracy on that, saying, like, he might get fired. But he's going to remain the coach for now.
Uh-huh.
Let's say next year, if we start bad next year and we don't get it together and draft the pieces we need, I can see a shakeup. But right now, John Harbaugh's job is safe as can be, and people are going to say, Josh, I don't want to hear that. Josh, I don't even want to talk about that. I think it's coaching, because we already went through coordinator.
Sure.
We're still doing it. But here's what I love to say about that. You can be a Bill Belichick upper echelon coach, but the players aren't buying into it, and they're not executing.
Right.
It's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
John Harbaugh's up there. He's not a Bill Belichick, obviously. He's his own coach in his own right.
Sure.
He's John Harbaugh. He's not a Bill Belichick. He's not a Vince Lombardi. He just call it what it is. But if you don't have the players executing, I mean, how bad would the Patriots be if everybody got hurt? Their whole line got hurt. They got all these injuries in all the receiving corps. I mean, if you put our injuries on the Patriots,
right,
or our injuries on the Steelers, and let's say Antonio Brown and Bell went out and Ben went out, and all three of the triplets went out, I'd like to see what their record would be. Maybe
right.
they would be 2-6 or 2-5. Who knows? But when you have players buying into the system, that's where I think the disconnect is. Is I don't think he's lost the locker room yet,
uh-huh.
but it's hard to coach with all these injuries and discipline.
Right.
But speaking of discipline, the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, 222 yards in penalties.
That's
over 20 penalties. It almost reminded me of that Detroit Lions game when Bill Belichick – or not Bill Belichick, I'm sorry, Brian Billick.
Brian Billick, yeah.
Brian Billick.
I yeah.
get off the Bill Belichick. it's all the same, BB. They had the 21 penalties up in Detroit and Chris McAllister's last years there. The whole discipline thing, and that's when the whole thing came out, well, has Belichick lost the locker room?
Right.
I don't think Harbaugh has because he's a true motivator. I've obviously we know he's got the players around him to make everybody better, but they're only good when they're good and when they're healthy. You can't have great players and then they're injured. Suggs, Flacco with his knee or whatever is going on there, shoulder now.
Yeah.
When you have these guys, Mosley, I mean, count all the countless All-Pros and Pro Bowlers. We're not naming third stringers here. It's not Campanera, Chris Moore, Max Williams. It's kind of ironic that Pitta's the only healthy guy on the team.
But
you're naming Flacco with a shoulder ailment. Who knows with his knee? Suggs with his bicep. Mosley, Yanda. I hate saying these names. It's really scary. It's cringing. But the team is only good when they're healthy. And obviously we have an unhealthy football team right now. And it's just really it's really sucky for everybody because we want to go to the games, put the brightest product on the field, and root guys win. But these losses, I can accept these losses, and here's why, fellas. Here's why.
Don't forget the ladies, too. We got ladies watchers. All right,
folks,
listeners.
Let's edit that out. Listen, folks. We're not getting beat. We're beating ourselves. We're in every game, and that's what gives me hope for the future for the next 9 games.
Sure.
We're this unhealthy, and we're close to winning.
Right.
We stop the Giants on 4th down and don't let Odell catch that pass. We win the game. I sat in the stands there in the first road game. I said, just give me one play. Exercising my inner Ray Lewis, just give me one play.
Right.
You stop them on 4th down, we in victory formation, and we're talking a different story. Then we're 4-3 tied for first. But because we didn't make a play, you can only coach so much. But when the guys aren't making plays and aren't doing coverages, maybe it's just time to get new personnel in there, not new coaches. I think that's time.
I'll say this. I'm not blaming Harbaugh or the coaching staff for the injuries, maybe a little bit on the conditioning and coaching, but I will say Harbaugh's seat may not be hot, maybe a little warm at this point.
It's a little warm.
It's a little warm, but I am going to blame the coaching staff, Harbaugh, Ozzie, for our depth problem. Because when one player does go down, we should have a guy who is good enough to step in, and we don't have that.
You bring up a good point, and I think that what happens here is the Ravens are now seeing the hurtfulness of their draft mistakes.
Yeah.
Whether it's injury, whether it's missing on the mark, Perryman, Kendall, I can just keep going on and on. With these injuries, I mean, we had Bronson Confusi out for the year.
Yeah.
A couple of our draft picks are out for the year, not making an impact. The only ones of recent memory I can understand is probably – now, and here's a big name we didn't mention in this podcast, Ronnie Stanley.
That's
true. Hate to leave him out. 3-0 when he's in, 0-4 when he's out. Let's make that correlation.
That's true. Very
true. The team is only as good as when they're healthy. I've said this time and time again, so I'm not saying a 3-4 record is based on poor coaching or poor performance. It's a combination here of all everything, but when you have injuries like that, you can't win football games as you were in the beginning of the year. If we had the injuries now and we were down 20 in Cleveland, we wouldn't have won that football game.
It's true.
We wouldn't have won that game. If we had the injuries that we have now in Jacksonville, we wouldn't have come back and won that game and held them at bay. We wouldn't have won against Buffalo. Buffalo would have walked right up and down the field and probably scored another touchdown and win the game. You need Stanley healthy. Apart from Stanley and I think Mosley of recent memory, they're the two draft picks that stand out right now. And,
it's true,
and Stanley's in his rookie year, and I've already given him praise and accolades because of what he's doing.
Yeah.
But when they're not healthy, sound like a broken record here, but I'm trying to preach the point home here, guys. When the Ravens aren't healthy, they're going to look horrible. And they're going to put in guys that aren't up to par, haven't played, haven't gelled well, and you're going to see the mental mistakes break down. False starts. Lining up, defensive holding because it's lazy. I always say holding's lazy because you got beat and you grab the guy, or you got beat on the receiver and you want to hold the receiver, defensive holding because you just know.
Right.
It's an embarrassment because you're like, oh, I don't want him to catch a wide open touchdown. I've always said holding is a lack of not paying attention, and it's a lazy move.
Yeah.
You get lazy instead of holding, why don't we block properly?
Right.
Why instead of blocking the back, why don't we set our guys properly on special teams? I just think everybody needs to step up. I'm calling out everybody on the Ravens. Just need to step up against Steelers because Steelers come in here and win. And I joked in the office, the Browns would get their first win on Thursday Night Football against us because I just have that sort of feeling. Well, I don't want that to come to fruition. I want to win this game against Steelers coming up next week when we review it on the Purple Friday preview.
Right.
Steeler Hate Week's coming up, so guys, get ready. We're going to be putting everything out there. You got to get fired up. Again, we might be throwing free, but we're playing virtually for first place. Steelers are on a bye, too, so they can't win or lose.
Right.
Both teams are on a bye. Both teams are within a game of each other. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a war. Sucks will be back.
As it always
Hopefully
is.
Hopefully, we'll see some funny names back in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what happens, man.
All right, so have we covered everything?
In the famous words of our great Edgar Allan Poe, who penned the Raven, but I put my own personal spin, quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Josh is always sharing photos and videos, historical Raven stuff.
Gotta reminisce.
That's right.
Gotta reminisce. It's always good.
All right. And you guys can share your thoughts of this year so far with us on Facebook as well. We do game day previews on Facebook Live. So we're always doing something for you guys. Why don't you guys do something for us and help spread the word about the call? We've gotten some great numbers, download numbers, streaming numbers so far this year. And
Thank you. To every each and every one of you, thank you. It's meant a lot.
And yeah,
speaking with you guys on Twitter and Facebook, it's been a real treat. I'm meeting new people every week, it seems like.
Yeah.
I'm seeing everybody at the games. We talked about it. It's just giving me chills right now just thinking about it. You know, meeting people at the tailgates and seeing my faces, our faces, and they're recognizing it, not only from the podcast, from me going to games and knowing where we're at and the lot. So I thank you to each and every one of you. I've shared it on the bus, on the trips.
Yep.
You know, hey, download the call, listen to it on the bus trip. So thank you to each and every one of you for making this show, because we do it. We only do it for our personal enjoyment because we love talking Ravens football. But we enjoy getting our word out there and enjoying what people have to say, make good conversation. Yeah, we might not always agree.
True.
We don't always agree with you guys, but that's what makes sports talk.
Yep.
That's what makes Ravens conversation happen, because it's, you might not agree with me and Brandon's conspiracy theories. You might think that Harbaugh needs to be fired today. I love to hear your thoughts. You know, that's what makes it, because we all can't really agree, because how boring would that be?
That'd be really boring.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, I love to hear the conversations. If you disagree or agree, let us know. I love to get the conversations on social media. I love it.
Exactly. So if you guys could do us a favor, continue to share the show, post about it on social media, let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go. And
just keep the list going, man.
Yeah, exactly. I found a new app called I Pooped.
I really don't want to know.
And you check into different bathrooms?
I don't want to know. Really? There's
check
an app
in and
for
say,
everything.
Yeah, check in and say, great bathroom to listen to the call
does
on.
Does it have the emoji that looks like chocolate?
God. No, it does not, thank God.
I saw somebody at Halloween this weekend wear that emoji.
Really?
They're walking around like an all brown like jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And they had the poop emoji.
That's gross.
Head. Just the things people come up with.
I know. I saw somebody carved a pumpkin with the poop emoji.
You have it
It's a poopkin.
This guy.
Dad jokes. Not even.
Good thing we're not doing a stand-up comedy show.
I know.
Our download numbers might get.
Yeah. Everyone's checking out right now.
You can see it's like a stock.
It's like a toilet just going down.
Here we go.
All right, guys. So that's pretty much it for the call for this Red Eye review. We will be back with the Purple Friday preview, and we will be previewing
Steelers
Ravens
edition
Steelers.
Number one.
That's
Can't
right.
Wait.
So, Josh, take us out the way you always
Brandon,
do.
Brandon, thank you so much. It's been a real treat to be down here in this great environment in the city of Baltimore, enjoying some nice, beautiful weather. Late fall, Halloween weekend. Guys, I hope you have a safe and happy Halloween out there, guys. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy it. Enjoy the bye week. It's going to be sucky not waking up and putting your Ravens gear on, man. But it's going to be nice and relaxing. Get to enjoy the day. Watch football all day long, Thursday, Monday, Sunday. Have it all. And just get refreshed and get re-energized. Because, guys, we have an important run coming up. Steeler hate week. Then we got the Browns on Thursday night. Two important games. Two home games. I really can't wait to see Ravens Nation down there. But just enjoy the bye week, guys. Enjoy the call. We appreciate every one of you. Until then, enjoy this bye week, and we're going to hit it hard this week. Ravens Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.